This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen in for the second week of August. Hopefully I had a good, the celebration last week was for farmers markets. We have lots of things to celebrate in dairy and in food, and we have news and a lot of things going on, plus a conversation about the imprint that you're making, the footprint, if you will. How does your farm affect the planet? We'll talk about that in a matter of moments. First, though, contaminated food reports from China. This is not, it shouldn't surprise anybody, the connection between the Chinese and what they're doing at Smithfield and other things, and we're letting them get away with it. Everybody's asleep in Washington. They're all worried about climate change, and they're worried about the war in Ukraine. What about worrying about what we eat? And where it comes from, and how easy it has become for the Chinese to control many of the aspects of our lives, including a lot of the food that's imported from China. As I've made, I think this point I've made three or four times over the past year, the Chinese have taken over Smithfield. They're trying to buy either Tyson's or Purdue Chicken, or both of them, or establish a branch of Smithfield that will compete with Tyson and or Purdue so that they can have a commanding presence in the chicken business in America as well, so that they can ship our healthy chicken to China, and they can send back here their contaminated chicken. There are all kinds of things from China. And this is just, by the way, for us. Other countries around the world reporting receiving contaminated food, synthetic beef, chemicals in drinks, metal in glass and garlic, bamboo shoots in chicken, this kind of stuff. The Food Security Index from China, they are ranked 38th. Out of 113 countries in terms of food quality. The United States is usually in first or second position, sometimes third or fourth, but certainly not 38th, 39th, or 40th, which is where the Chinese usually are. They have, because of their industrialization, there's cadmium contamination in their agricultural soils. As a result, much of the rice that's grown in parts of China have cadmium concentration that's higher than the food safety limit of any country. And so here we are again, food safety in China. The frequency of imported food from China is very high, as is everything else. Last year, the United States imported $6 billion in agricultural products from China, most of it food. Some of it is vegetables, sometimes mostly those snacks and that sort of thing. So with all of these issues, what's China doing to improve the safety of food it produces? Nothing. Basically, nothing. They aren't doing anything. They don't have to. Supposedly, the government is saying they've issued guidelines on food safety law, but we can tell by the way the stuff, if in fact they're sending over here the crap that they are, does that mean that they're saving the good stuff for their people and they're just trying to knock us off? How do you avoid contaminated food from China? You don't buy it. That's it. Look for, is there a requirement in America for Chinese food to be labeled? I don't know that there is, frankly. I think that's something that we have to investigate. But it's kind of like the same story, the fellow that was running the clothing business, I think it was in Michigan or Minnesota this week, was found, a Federal Trade Commission found that the products that he has made in China were showing made in USA labels on them, and in investigating, they found out that his employees are ripping the tag "Made in China" off of his garments and putting "Made in the USA" on them. So he's now subject to hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, which he ought to be. This is ridiculous, and why we're putting up with it is way beyond me. In South Dakota, a dairy farm has become more sustainable. They're using methane gas digesters. This is Broadwine Dairy in Baltic, South Dakota. The latest, there are a lot of farms that are doing this, renewable natural gas through the use of these methane digesters. You got to have 100 cows, at least 150, to make this worthwhile. But a lot of the bigger factory farms aren't doing this, and they ought to be doing it. The idea of methane digesters is not new, but becoming more popular because farmers are being blamed for the environmental footprint that supposedly they create with methane gas from cows. They're trying to reach a place where they can be constructive. So the manure, the gas is out, and it's used for making electricity and energy, and the cow manure is used to take care of the fields. What could be better than that? So anyway, a tip of the hat to Broadwine Dairy in Baltic, South Dakota. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. The information you're going to hear in the next 60 seconds is about a product that is superbly qualified to take care of your weight problems. That's a huge statement for me to make, but it's true. You can get healthy and stay healthy using Calitrin. This is the right way to lose weight and, more importantly, to keep it off. This is a combination of aloe vera, proteins, enzymes that are all mixed together in just the right formula to help your body repair and rebuild after you've lost a lot of weight. And therefore, it keeps your body in the shape it needs to be so that you can look your best, feel your best, and be your best. Check it all out. The natural way to maintain weight control is with Calitrin. Go to toploss.com and check out using the discount code DOUG, Doug. Continuing on now in the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen here with the story of a Clearfield County, Pennsylvania farm. This is a struggling farm that now has stopped producing milk. This is a family farm, 180 years of milking cows. Knob Farm in Grampian, Pennsylvania, stopping this week producing milk because of inflation. The farm got into a pinch. There was a mortgage on it. I mean, it's like the American story, but this is the American farmer story. The farm's owner, a guy named Jeff Rigglesworth, was hurt in an accident, and so he couldn't milk anymore. He had to sell all the dairy cows, and so he said, "We're not going to milk cows again. Maybe on a small scale, sell some local milk, but we're not going to be big commercial producers." This farm goes back to 1842. The family has owned the farm, and they made a decision that they would not sell the farm from generation to generation. That was the rule passed on. And so the original owners of the farm were the Hoover family. Their daughter married, and they're not Hoover. Hoover is in that part of the world is a very, it's a frequently used, seen, observed name, a frequent name that you would be familiar with. But anyway, a long history in the family. And what a great, it's just because there's nobody now, this guy hasn't got any children that want to keep the farm going. So he had to stop. He's going to do like I do. I did the same thing, not because I was hurt, but because I lost a lot of cows in a horrible snowstorm in 2015. But he's going to do the same thing. He's going to raise calves and breed them and sell them into the marketplace, replacement heifers. I think it's sad, but reality. And again, think about the history of the farm and what's gone on there. Some of the great cows, I bet, that have been born and bred there. So an update on the story from Knob Farm in Pennsylvania. Doug Steffen here, continuing with Brad Mitchell, Farm Bureau spokesman, after these words.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications and the media. I've been an avid fly fisherman for at least 40 or more years. I've been taking Prevagen on a regular basis for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Time for a visit from the star of the show. It's, remember, you probably don't remember this, Elizabeth. There was a TV show called Star of the Day. Star of the Day, who will it be? Serenade for Elizabeth Miller.
You have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Calitrin is the focus, not my singing. Elizabeth is one of the counselors at Calitrin that is in the know and helps so many people who are trying to figure out what to do.
We do get a lot of the same questions over and over again. The number one question we get is, can I take this if I'm on this medication? The answer is always yes. It does not interfere or affect with any medication at all whatsoever. 1-833-TOP-LOSS. Or again, you can go to toploss.com.
And use the discount code Doug when you check out for that free shipping. Calitrin info at toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller from Calitrin here. Joining me now on this week's American Family Farmer is Brad Mitchell, who is the executive director of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation. Each state has its own Farm Bureau group that's attached to the American Farm Bureau Federation. So let's talk about that before we talk specifically about what's going on here in the East and what your job or a job that somebody like you has in each of these positions. The voice of agriculture, is it clouded today or is it clear?
It depends how you define agriculture, Doug. Thanks for having me on, by the way. But I think when you talk to the Farm Bureau folks, the people who are part of, you know, the 51 Farm Bureau, state Farm Bureaus, that includes Puerto Rico, more than 2,200 county Farm Bureaus and the American Farm Bureau, we think we have a pretty clear idea of where agriculture is and where it needs to go and how to get there.
All right. So where is it? Where does it need to go? And how do we get our American family farmers to reap the benefits of all their work?
Well, I mean, the first thing they should do is if they're a farmer, they should really be involved in Farm Bureau. One thing folks need to understand about Farm Bureau is that, you know, we're largely at this point a lobbying organization. In the past, we've done other things, provide advice to Extension. We've run insurance companies, basically whatever farmers need. But policy is a big challenge facing farmers right now. So that's where the Farm Bureaus are focused, both in their municipalities, at their state level, and at the federal level. But all of our policy comes from farmers, and we function because the farmers tell us what we need. Staff doesn't design this. We have county meetings where somebody puts forward a policy resolution that's voted on by the county. It then goes to a state annual meeting where a delegate session with representatives, all of the farmer representatives from all over the state, meet and discuss those and approve that. The policies they approve become our marching orders in the state, and if it has federal implications, it goes down to D.C. and goes through a similar process, and that's what happens on Federal Hill. So the biggest thing farmers need to know is if they're interested in these things and they're farming, they really need to be involved in Farm Bureau because we act at their bequest. Whatever they need, they go through a process. We gain consensus, not unanimity. We can't really do that and get anywhere. But our policy is completely driven by farmers.
Brad Mitchell, who has an interesting farm connection in and of himself, we'll talk about that. He's the director of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation here to talk about what's going on, the ways you can help yourself. See, that's what I'm most interested in, and I'm going to ping on those points. What they know, how they know that is farmers, and how they put it into action. That's what Brad and his like in the various states and counties is all about. We continue on the American Family Farmer.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. teamg'day.com. teamg'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Welcome to the farm. You can roll your windows down.
The Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation. Brad Mitchell is here with me. I'm Doug Steffen. This is this week's American Family Farmer. Why would I have somebody on from the American Farm Bureau or the Massachusetts Farm Bureau? I think Brad just kind of explained it himself. You need somebody who's your voice because your voice isn't loud enough anymore because of all the corporate agri-food interests that have a lot of money, that spend a lot of money. I have said sometimes to my chagrin that members of Congress ought to be like people who are running NASCAR races. They ought to have jackets that have all the people that have contributed to their campaigns so you know who you're fighting against. And that's kind of the frustration for those of us who are small family farmers. We don't really know who the bad guys are, right? Do you think that's true or not?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest, from my perspective, not so many bad guys as folks with different perspectives, and what we need to do is put them together and come up with some compromises, but that really hasn't been happening, at least in at the national level in the last 10 years or so. We're very divided, and it's a much harder environment to get across, get your policy objectives across with, because people don't want to compromise, and compromise is, you know, it's the cornerstone of democracy, which people keep forgetting. People just dig into their positions and don't move, and we never get anywhere. And, you know, the biggest places we see that is labor, and farm labor in particular has been suffering from that.
How so?
So at the federal level, we've had immigration reform, which has really become very politicized, and it's become a barrier at the national level to really coming up with a way to get offshore workers. What we've seen, quite honestly, and it's hard to say, and some folks don't believe it, is most Americans these days don't want to do farm work. If you went back when I was a kid, you know, most of my friends worked on farms picking apples, yep, picking blueberries. Schools up in Maine would actually let out for 3 weeks to let kids pick blueberries. We had kids detasseling corn in the Midwest. And you can't find people to do that anymore. You know, people don't want to do that work. It's hard. So we've been relying very heavily on offshore labor. Unfortunately, in some parts of the country, farmers are relying on illegal labor. And we need some reforms to that. But unfortunately, it's gotten caught up in the whole, you know, build the wall and immigration and really the polarization of the politics of this, where it should be a very simple fix to get an offshore labor program where we bring people in with a visa. We only allow them in when there's no domestic workers who want to do that, but the whole topic is just so embroiled in emotion and you know angst and anger at each other that we haven't been able to fix that. And that's true for agriculture. I think it's true for the service industry and to a lesser extent in construction as well. At the state level, it's not quite as bad, at least here in Massachusetts. We don't really have we don't have any Republicans, but the ones we do get along well. But we still have, you know, the warring parties outside in the community. So, you know, we're fighting that quite a bit. We have agriculture is a little bit different from a lot of other industries where we compete with other parts of the country and we compete with other parts of the world. And one of the issues we've been facing in Massachusetts is right now 45 states and the federal law all exempt agricultural workers from being paid overtime. Now, with the focus on, you know, increasing the minimum wage, we've really seen a lot of efforts in Massachusetts and a few other states as well to do away with those exemptions. And while I see both sides of the issue, farmers right now can't afford to pay overtime for their farm workers, not when we're competing with Mexico with a 65 cent an hour minimum wage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous and asinine and becomes, as you said, pretty insular. And one wonders, again, what we're doing as a country. We're to make it easier for people not to work and make money or get money. I think that's really what the problem is. And that's a systemic sort of thing that isn't just about agriculture. It's across the board, as you said, construction, all of this other stuff. We're playing into the hands of people who don't really get what it really means to work. And I think you see that crumbling, that structure crumbling all around us. We'll continue next half hour. More info from Brad Mitchell from the Mass Farm Bureau.
These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exogen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exogen.
The weather can be unpredictable. Be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting 2 times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades, only available at Walmart.
If you work remote, Staples has you covered.
A mid-mod desk chair to rejuvenate my ho-hum workspace.
Staples has you covered.
A place to put my papers so I can be more productive.
A storage cabinet that I can roll out of the way on weekends.
Staples has you covered with remote workspace solutions. And now get 25% off storage and filing products, chair mats, decor, and lighting with the purchase of an office chair or desk. Explore solutions for your remote workspace at Staples, the working and learning store. N72, in-store only.
Make money doing what you love. It can be done. Matter of fact, it has been done. Consider the story of Jack London. He's one of the highest paid writers of all time. Authored The Call of the Wild, recently released as a blockbuster movie starring Harrison Ford. Jack grew up in a rough neighborhood in Oakland, poor, uneducated, and a school dropout. As a child, Jack fell in love with the idea of being a writer. The notion that an uneducated, dirt-poor school dropout from Oakland could someday be a published writer was insanity. You know the rest of the story, though. Jack London became one of the richest writers of all time. Discover Jack's secret that allows anyone of any income or educational level to make money doing what they love. Whatever it is you love more than anything else, let's make that your prosperous living. Go right now to discovering...
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Beijing has rescinded a pledge not to send troops to Taiwan if it takes control of the self-governing island. China accuses the United States of trying to undermine China's development and progress. In a new policy document, Beijing's first white paper on Taiwan since Xi Jinping came to power days after China's military began threatening Taipei with live military drills off their coast. This week's unprecedented FBI raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home by machine-gun-equipped FBI agents has many Americans in disbelief. Trump attorney Lindsey Halligan on Fox News last night.
Simply put, it seems that under the Biden administration, the government conceals what it wants to, the government does what it wants to, and American citizens need to protect their country from its government.
Today is National Son and Daughter Day, USA Radio News.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
As yesterday's CPI numbers eased up slightly, President Biden announced we are at zero inflation, end quote. It should be noted the core CPI, which excludes food and energy, rose 0.3% in the month. That's still about three times the Federal Reserve's inflation target. The most trusted law enforcement agency in the world is no more. The weaponizing of the Department of Justice and the FBI is in full display on their attack and raid of President Trump's home in Florida. The fear that President Trump could return to the White House and poor polling numbers for November's midterm elections. President Trump's attorney, Lindsey Halligan, described how she was removed from the Trump home by FBI agents with automatic machine guns during their raid this week under the guise of a Trump-hating magistrate.
They had unfettered access to the property. They looked at God knows what in there and did God knows what in there. We have no idea. What the FBI did was an appalling display of abuse of power. All documents requested were previously handed over. President Trump and his team painstakingly reviewed every single document at Mar-a-Lago and gave the government what they requested. The warrant was secured under seal, so they tried to get away with concealing this overreach by obtaining a warrant under seal. Nobody knew about it. The government seems to be out of control. It's plagued with manipulation, corruption, greed, deceit, and fraud.
I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
American Family Farmer Program. Doug Steffen here with Brad Mitchell, who's the executive director of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation. He's always been involved in the policy and the legal side of things. I've called on him many times over the years for understanding or trying to understand the legal gobbledygook that we have to function in that arena, but yet we don't really understand. And it takes somebody like Brad, who knows, and his expertise is built around knowing policy and stuff. So just a few more minutes on labor. You said something that intrigued me and kind of made me feel like, yep, that's what it was like when I was a kid. Not that we have to go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear, but there was some practical value. The whole school calendar was built, as you suggested in the story from Maine, on getting out of school when we were an agrarian society. The summers were off because kids had to work on the farm. I had a lady friend once who grew up on an Iowa farm, and she admitted her parents told her that she came into the world because they needed an extra farmhand. Families would decide how many children they were going to have as to the needs they would have to work on the farm. That's just the way it was. And I don't know, maybe in some circumstances with the Amish it's that way still. But in terms of us working as kids, I remember being thrilled to do almost anything and everything on the farm growing up. It was great, and I still feel like that at my age today. I won't ask anybody to do something I won't do myself. But we've made it so easy. And you mentioned three different areas of work where the workload is heavy, where we ought to be able to find Americans to do the work, but they don't want to. How do you do that? How do you say, I don't want to? It's either that or you go hungry. And yet we don't do that here in this country. We pay people to do nothing. And so that's really the crux of the problem, isn't it? Am I being too philosophical?
Well, to some extent, I think, I think there's a lot of folks who argue that they call it entitlements, but unemployment and that sort of thing are too liberal. I don't know about that. I do think they got too liberal during COVID, where we basically, when my farmers opened up and they were all, when COVID hit, they were all deemed essential businesses, but they couldn't find people to work because between the state unemployment and the federal unemployment, they were making more than they could coming back to the farm or other jobs as well. And the restaurant industry is, which was hurt very badly during COVID, is still struggling to find workers.
Yeah.
But some of it goes beyond that. I mean, when I was a kid, if you were 16 and over, you worked. It was expected.
Yeah.
It was rare
right.
that a kid 16 and over didn't have at least a part-time job during the summer. Now, I've got an 18-year-old son. He's been working as a lifeguard every summer for the past 3 years, but I bet 60% of his friends don't have jobs.
I'm a guy.
And
at least.
There's...
Yeah.
And there's no shortage of folks who would love to hire young people to work. I mean, it used to be you went and worked on a farm, and, that's where you learned your life skills. That's where you learned work ethic. But I'll talk to farmers, and they hire these kids, and they don't have the work ethic. One of the things we've been looking at in legislation that we can't get through at all is a youth training wage. So Massachusetts has it's working up to a $15 an hour minimum wage, which, we have to pay the prevailing minimum wage anyhow because we compete with everybody else. There's a legal lower minimum wage for ag workers, but nobody can pay that. But you bring these kids on, and they want to go on vacation for 3 weeks in the middle of the summer. They don't do the work. So we wanted a training wage, but the legislature just won't buy that. And for us, and I think for a lot of youth development, I think it would be a great thing. Get some kid $10 an hour for 90 days. They work. They work out. You train them, and they come back next year. If the people work out, you pay them. But right now, it's basically everybody gets that minimum wage, and it's really a barrier to hiring, a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old.
Especially if they don't know what they're doing.
It's their first job, and quite honestly, they're not worth as much as a seasoned worker.
No. So tell me what you think the relative comparative is between women and men in terms of running farms, working on farms. When I was a kid, there were no women working on farms. Lots of women working on farms now. My own bias is that women are better workers. Generally speaking, they're better organized, and it's easier to get things done when you've got a woman at the helm. There may be people arguing, listening to the radio, throwing stuff at it right now, but I just think that's kind of the way it is. What are we seeing across the country in trends as far as women in ag?
Well, I won't opine on who's a better worker, who's a better manager, but I will say that we've seen a huge increase in the number of women, not only just working on farms, but actually running farms and doing it well. So I bet between 40 and 50% of the farms in Massachusetts are run by women, either solely or in conjunction with a partner. And people split up the work tasks well and do it. But we've seen an incredible increase in number of women in agriculture and really playing leadership roles, not just on the farm, but in organizations like Farm Bureau. We have a female vice president. Our board is nearing 40%. We'd like to see it more, but in the old days, there were no women on Farm Bureau boards or any other boards anyplace else. I will say we're well ahead of corporate America as far as incorporating women into, our leadership here at Farm Bureau.
Right. Now, technology, maybe that's part of this. Women seem to be better at technology, or is that just my own bias because I think women are better at technology?
My experience is teenagers are better at technology than younger people. So I think part of what we see is more younger women aren't really constrained by the societal norms of what women can and should do. So my generation, not a lot of women wanted to get into agriculture. What I'm seeing in my children's generation and maybe the one, folks a little older than them is women appropriately don't see any boundaries. They can do anything men can do, and appropriately, a good half of them now almost are going into agriculture. And I think that's a great thing. So.
It is. All right. In Massachusetts and around the rest of the country, we've had a controversy about solar power and how to get this. One of the big problems here is that we've got some sticky wickets in the state who we've had programs. I guess most states have, don't they, APR programs and the tax incentives for farmland, et cetera, et cetera. And some people just don't seem to want to have solar as a part of helping the farm sustain itself. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so there are two schools of thought. One, which I think is shared by most of the people who own farmland and have to run farmland, is that solar really allows farmers to diversify, to use land they're not using or aren't making enough money off of for a variety of reasons, you know, bad weather, that's not the right point with the labor on the farm and the age of the people who are running the farm is in transition. Or for whatever reason, many farmers would like to devote part of their land to solar because they get year-round guaranteed income and it helps stabilize the farm. Right. The flip side of that, which I see largely from the folks who rent land, and neither side's invalid, is that they don't think agricultural land should be taken out of production and that we should really be preserving farmland and not putting it in solar and other uses. And that gets towards your comment about some of the farmland preservation programs in Massachusetts, the APR, the Agricultural Preservation Restriction Program. And I think there's a happy medium. Like I said, part of the problem is people have forgotten how to compromise, and there are compromises in this. What I've seen from my membership, and again, we're a consensus-driven organization, is the vast majority of my members, and we see this reflected in our policy, is that people do want the flexibility to diversify a little bit and to use that land for solar in order to generate some year-round non-farm income to stabilize the farming operation.
Well, we'll talk about some other ways of doing that, including some I'm trying to do on my farm. Brad Mitchell, here, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau, with some words to the wise here. I'm Doug Steffen.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling or giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you work remote, Staples has you covered.
A mid-mod desk chair to rejuvenate my ho-hum workspace.
Staples has you covered.
A place to put my papers so I can be more productive.
A storage cabinet that I can roll out of the way on weekends.
Staples has you covered with remote workspace solutions. And now get 25% off storage and filing products, chair mats, decor, and lighting with the purchase of an office chair or desk. Explore solutions for your remote workspace at Staples, the working and learning store. And 72 in-store only.
This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm sorry, I can't operate on that vehicle.
But, Doctor, you took an oath.
That RV, it's my son's RV.
Oh, Doctor, isn't there anything you
can... I'm not a miracle worker, Sheila. I'm an RV surgeon, trained to save the lives of large injured recreational vehicles, which is definitely a real profession.
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, covered subject to policy terms.
Brad Mitchell from the Mass Farm Bureau, solar on farms. You wanted to add a couple of anecdotal thoughts here.
Yeah, just one thing. I think if managed properly, we could come up with a program where solar on farm can actually preserve farmland and not represent a loss of farmland. And the reason I say that is properly constructed solar panels in the arrays can be removed from farmland, and you can put it in there without taking away soil, without putting in deep footings or that sort of thing. You just really place it on top of the soil. And if they're properly constructed, it can be removed and returned back to farming. And there's literally no other development you can put on farmland where you can make that case. If you put in housing or Commercial construction, it's never going to be in farmland again in any foreseeable future. But solar, you can. And so what that really represents is for farmers who, because of the market, because of where they stand in their family, because of weather, because of whatever reason, don't feel they can make money off of farming on that piece of land, they can put it in solar. And when things change in 20 or 30 years, when the lease is up, they can put it back in farming. And that's really an advantage that no other development potential has. And I'm concerned about some of the policies here in Massachusetts and elsewhere that don't allow that, because many of these farmers aren't doing this because they don't want to farm. They're doing it because they're not making enough money farming, or they have other barriers to doing so. Without solar, their really only other option is permanent development, and that would be sad.
Yeah, well, that's something that actually I'm facing, as you know, and one of the roads that I've decided to go down, although we're not having an easy time in several different aspects of growing cannabis on the farm and processing hemp, that sort of thing, because we can't seem to get through the structure, the legislative structure, the difference between the two products. And I know you work very hard here on hemp, and we just like pulling our hair out trying to get this to work and people understand what the benefits are and how many farms could be saved getting into this area as well. What do you think?
It's really disconcerting to see how slow hemp policy has moved in Massachusetts. It's not often farmers get a new crop or new product they can grow. But, you know, the legalization of hemp federally and cannabis here in Massachusetts and other states, it really does offer a fairly lucrative crop to farmers. But we've seen nothing but policy barrier after policy barrier. Oddly, specifically with hemp, it's almost easier, not cheaper, but easier to grow cannabis in Massachusetts than it is hemp. You know, anecdotally, one of the examples we have, so the federal law, FDA does not allow registered drugs to go into something that's edible. CBD, which is an oil that is extracted from hemp, is very popular. A lot of folks, they see health benefits in it, and it's typically put into edible products such as gummies and that sort of thing.
Right.
The federal government has a rule that it shouldn't be, but they really don't enforce it unless simply somebody's making some really outrageous complaints, claims, such as it cures childhood cancer or that sort of thing.
Right.
So the feds really don't really enforce that law. Unfortunately, Massachusetts has, and I can get into that in a moment if you'd like.
Well, I know that we haven't got too much time left. I think suffice it to say that there's a lot of stuff going on that is counterproductive to the farm, to the families, and to the food industries that are served by the farmers. We don't have farmers, we don't have food. It's pretty much that. That's the bottom line. Very instructive. The Farm Bureau website, pretty easy. If you go to farmbureaufp.org, you can see what's going on there. The work's being done on behalf of the farmers. We need this kind of stuff. We need more focus. So, Brad, I'm appreciative of your being here and telling us some of the stories here to benefit the farmers in Massachusetts. Brad Mitchell, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation, here on this week's American Family Farmer.
Sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Back with my, well, a reminder first, you can get the podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com of all of our episodes, plus the whole program as well. So you can get sort of a wrap on the show, which is what the podcast is, or the whole program itself. Again, that's AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. I take this these precious moments at the end of each hour to tell you what I think about some of the issues in agriculture. One of the things that the American Farm Bureau has been focused on, and I think the National Farmers Union as well, is the women, the role of women as it changes in agriculture. This is something that I embrace wholeheartedly. I actually think it's kind of exciting. It's kind of fun. There's a group that get together every year to talk about women in agriculture, and that's cool. I think that more than talk, there's a lot of action going on, connecting women in agriculture through social media. There are a lot of women who have developed a community of groups, if you will, of women around the country, some of them in produce, some of them younger, some of them older, some of them in management, some of them in dairy. It's really an interesting thing to look at as women change their roles. Women are serving as leaders in agriculture, whether it be locally near where you are, across the state where you are, certainly in the national level. There are more women who are talented, who are good farmers, who have lots of skills and lots of expertise. I think that it's, we're always looking, I think, on farms around the country, no matter whether big or small, for new technology, things that will help us be more efficient, more effective in what we do. Certainly every nickel counts every day. We're trying to be better than the day before. I see that, and more with the younger women. I'm not trying to slight the older men, but the average owner of a farm in America right now, I think, is 64 years old, a white male on average. That's not bad. There's no judgment there. But why not bring in some younger, newer ideas, fresher ideas to make a better ag community? I'm looking forward to the tools that come, being able to share them with you, because this program is all about sharing, effectively sharing ideas that will help make your farm better, help you to survive and be successful. And I think that a lot of the women's groups in agriculture have the power to influence the outcomes on lots of farms. I don't see this happening, frankly, on the big factory farms. I see them run by bean counters in an office, and they hire a lot of non-English speaking people to milk the cows, and who knows who's making the policy for spreading the manure or saving the gas or whatever it is. These places are a horror show as far as I'm concerned. They're always cleaning up spills and messes. I don't see women involved in those roles. I see women involved on the family farm. And there are also a lot of women that are working in ag-related industries as well. When I was a kid, there were few opportunities for in farming and in the farming business for women, but that certainly has changed. Women are pretty much, if you look at the roles that they're playing and the jobs that they have, many of them have side hustles off the farm to bring in income. That is certainly a real problem, but it almost highlights what's going on and our lack of disrespect, our lack of respect, which equals disrespect, for our farms. We don't want to pay for good food. We want to pay for cheap crap. And now, because there are problems in the economy, more people are doing more harm to themselves eating this crap, and what it does to you physically, what it does to your lifeline, what it just it does to our psyche. You know, you read all these things about the various studies being done, what gets put into hot dogs, what about prepared food, what about preservatives and that sort of thing. You're not getting any of that stuff on the farm. And so you are trying to sell. And I think women are better at selling than men are. That's one of the roles that I hope women will be more involved in, plus the usual growing of carrots and the things that are in the garden and that are out there for the public to come and either pick or buy the stuff you've picked. A lot of opportunities, and we need more and more. Agriculture is changing very quickly, and so we need more women in decision-making roles, in my opinion. In this world where change is the new norm, women, I think, are better suited, frankly, younger women, better suited to leadership positions than ever before. So hopefully in your farm, the wife, the children, the young women, perhaps that are educated in this, are starting to play a role. Encourage them, help them, give them the tools so that they can help meet the demand that we have for new and stronger leadership in agriculture. That's my idea. That's my thought. I'm Doug Steffen.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.